the recent Farm Bill signed on December 20th, 2018, it reclassified hemp for commercial use and removed it from the Controlled Substance Act. This feels like this is definitely renewed interest in growing hemp for commercial production. Before we jump into the work you're doing at the Yale Jacket Research Station, I was hoping you guys could define what hemp is, specifically as related to cannabis.
This is Emily. I can talk just a little bit about that. I mean, the exact wording is using scientific names and things like that, but really focusing on the percentage of that delta 9, THC components. And so hemp is having an amount that is, 0.3%. So having a lower percentage of that where it's really not a psychoactive, component of the product that you're getting out of it.
And so why might hemp be a useful agricultural product?
There's potential for a lot of different ways to use the product, for different, fibrous materials. Then people are looking into, like animal feed or oil, food grade, grain kind of products. And then also there's, big interest in the pharmaceutical products that might come out of it.
And so could the two of you talk a little bit about the type of trials that you're doing on hemp right now over in Yellow Jacket?
Sure. So under the 2014 Farm Bill, that allowed a research exemption. And so from that point on, we've started looking at several different aspects of hemp production. I'm certainly interested in how much production we can get, looking at the fiber grain. We look at dual-purpose varieties, so those are the plants that are made to be able to harvest both grain and fiber off of those. And then we're starting to get into the CBD side of things. That's where a lot of the interest locally is at this point, but really wanting to target all three end product uses. So we've done things like looked at planting date, variety selection, fertilizer use, and then the big one that we'll be expanding on this year is how much water does hemp need. And then the concern is how much water is too little and can that affect those THC levels.
And will you be sharing these results with local producers in the area?
Yeah, absolutely. So, we're still kind of in our infancy on the research side of things as well. But CSU is compiling information together as an extension fact sheet right now. And then we'll also be actually having a local meeting to explain some of those research results, demystify some of the regulatory side of things, and explain the sampling and analysis procedures for THC in hemp and what that requires from a producer at the end of the season so that their product is marketable. So we'll actually have an extension meeting here in Cortez at the end of March.
Oh, great. Whereabouts is that going to be in Cortez?
It's going to be at the Annex building, so next to the Extension office. And right now it's still a little bit tentative, but it should be March 22nd from 2 to 4 o'clock.
And in terms of the local producers, just from who you've been communicating with, what do you think they're growing hemp for? Which final product?
Certainly the majority of the folks we talk to are interested in CBD. That is driven by a few different things, one of which would definitely be the economic interest, and then also the scale of production. So it's allowing folks to get in with just a few acres and be able to make a profit. I think for large scale, that's really where you're going to get more producers interested in grain and fiber. I think there's definitely a constraint with the processing market on that. There's a lot of processors for CBD oil right now popping up, and they can take a smaller quantity to produce that oil. When you get into the grain and fiber market, that's really where the scale of production increases.
Yeah, so let's talk a little bit about the feasibility. You kind of touched on transportation a little bit and the processing. So you're saying that there is locally a processing plant for the oils, for the CBD oils?
Yeah, there's a few. I believe one in Montezuma County has already been approved. I think that their production scale is still pretty small. And I can't speak to if that is expanding yet. I think that for the number of acres that are probably going to be grown this year, expansion would be required to be able to process the amount of material. Just from sort of understanding the number of acres that are being registered with the Department of Ag, they've definitely increased for the 2019 season. And then in the Front Range, there's certainly some processing facilities that are much larger scale, but then you kind of add in that transportation component.
And in terms of irrigation, I know your testing is kind of still in the infancy stage, like you said, but right now, how would it compare to other crops that are currently grown in this region?
Yeah, I think that there is a huge potential for hemp becoming a rotation crop or coming into our agricultural system for that water savings. We don't have a fully clear idea. Last year, obviously, we were in a drought environment, and so we used 18 inches of water on our crop last year. I do believe that there is research out there that says that you can get by with about 15 inches. We don't have a real handle on exactly the requirements for this area. But that said, that's making it fall somewhere between somewhere between wheat and corn as far as water needs. And then certainly it would be a water savings for a crop like alfalfa.
Do you ever see it as being a dryland crop?
At this point, I don't think I could see it as a dryland crop here. I think our dryland water requirements here is so low, maybe too low for it. Maybe in a good year, I think it could work. But yeah, when we think dryland, I think that term gets thrown around, and dryland back east is a totally different environment than dryland out here.
So far, have you found that it is suitable, like for our soils and for some of the other growing needs?
Yeah, I think it works well here. I think that we can see very adequate production. It maybe gets a reputation of being this crop that doesn't need inputs and that competes really well and doesn't need fertility. I think some of those are misleading comments about hemp. I think that it does need more research to understand the inputs. It is a nitrogen user, and so I think fertility is a consideration. It does compete very well with weeds, but that's also a good thing because we don't have any chemicals labeled for it either. So, you know, as some of those research trials get worked out, I think we'll have a better understanding of the input side of things.
If people want to learn more about the research station or more about your hemp trials, how can they find you?
Well, we do have a website, but we just started a Facebook page, an Instagram page, and a Twitter feed, I guess. And so we're trying to update our research on that to make it really user-friendly to get information out instead of going, you know, through a bunch of clicks on a university website. We'll be posting things on that. You can find us, you know, Southwest Colorado Research Center.
A lot of great information. Well, thanks to both of you, Emily and Katie, for coming on today.
Absolutely.
Yeah, thanks.
Thanks.